Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Have you given much thought to what Jesus predicted? All my life, I've heard about end times. When I Googled the end of all things, I saw all kinds of entries. A book title, definition of the end of all things, a song, a movie, cartoons, videos, even the Lord of the Rings, you know, when Sam helps Frodo on a journey of hardship to destroy a ring of evil power in Mount Doom. But none of these give any definitive help in exploring what life will look like in end times. Let's look at what Jesus predicted. I've heard so many variations about end times. I'm sure you have too. I suppose, first of all, one needs to grapple with, will there even be an end to things? Whatever your opinion is on this, it's a worthy concept to spend some time on, but not too much time. After all, some people become obsessed with this topic, while others ignore it completely. Scientific, medical, and cultural developments suggest we are progressively moving forward through time. But so far, I've not seen or heard credible explanation for end times from those sources. Nevertheless, I've heard some pretty weird ideas from less than dependable sources. And I've heard more ideas from churches and religious organizations, some of them plausible and others not. With all this tug and pull on the topic, I've decided my go-to resource will always be the scriptures. Incidentally, I've never run across a scripture that's not credible. And remarkably, myriads of Jesus followers through centuries of time have also found God's word entirely dependable. Regarding credibility, Jesus profoundly said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." That verse is found in Matthew 24:35, Mark 13, verse 31, and Luke 21:33. Notice two substantial points from that very short verse. First of all, there will be some kind of end. And second of all, God's words will never end. Well, Jesus predicted about end times in Matthew 24:3 through 8, 10 through 14, and 24 through 25. I'd like to read those passages. They're very interesting. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time." Notice Jesus' undeniable emphasis. It's going to happen. He says, the end will come. And then he says, see, I have told you ahead of time. Even though this is not a scripture dissection exercise, let's ask, what does it say about this passage? Well, here are a couple of points. First of all, the topic comes up because Jesus' disciples are curious about end times. They ask Jesus questions privately. Another point, Jesus conversationally engages their curiosity. God wants us to interact with him about everything. These disciples take that seriously. Do you? Another point, Jesus answers, give these disciples what they need in order to live well as they wait for end times. And then a final point. Here are some things that Jesus actually said would happen. First, don't be deceived. Lots of lies and false claims will circulate. Next, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Another point, nation will rise against nation. Plus, there will be famines and earthquakes. Many will turn from the faith. There will be hatred and betrayals. The love of life will grow cold. And finally, false claimers will appear. Well, that all sounds pretty terrible. Coincidentally, does any of that sound familiar in the world today? Early Christians thought the same during their lifetime, several centuries ago. So how should we think about this? And where is dependable hope? Are there any helpful directives? Well, thankfully, Jesus gives hope and directives. Let's talk about those things. First of all, don't be alarmed when you see these events. Such things will happen before the end times. So the strong hint is, there will be an end. Another point, anyone who stands firm in God's ways will be saved in end times. Strong hint there is hope. An additional point, Jesus declares his message of hope must be shared throughout the world, and then the end will come. The strong hint, will you partner with him to tell people about this hopeful message? And then another point, Jesus cares enough to tell his disciples ahead of time what will happen. Strong hint, I'm giving you the heads up so you won't lose hope. Hang in there. I know how this story ends, and I've not forgotten you. My loving eye is on you. Plus, I am going to prepare a fabulous eternal place for you. Then, I'll come and get you to be with me forever. You'll never have to think about end times again. So let's think about all of this. Jesus gives enough information to function in faith all our lives, in any century. But he doesn't bog down with details. As he's in the habit of doing, he trusts all the details to his Father. In fact, he continues to trust God with the timing he will return in end times. Apparently, he simply doesn't know when that will be. Listen to this. But about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24:36 and Mark 13:32. That's amazing. We should follow his example. One thing Jesus did predict is suffering. It's not God's fault, and it wasn't God's plan. Remarkably, however, he steps in to soften the blow, to take the sting away, to pay the price, and to offer hope for the future. He is the fall guy for humanity's failures. And he rises in every scenario as victor. Then he shares that position with those who trust and obey him. Jesus doesn't want people to suffer. He spent his earthly life serving, healing, encouraging, blessing, raising dead people, feeding hungry folks, welcoming outcasts, and so much more. Suffering is difficult. It's terrible. And often, it's extremely unfair as it severely shapes your life and future. As you endure, it seems trivial to say suffering will fade into something lovely someday. When you literally groan inwardly as you suffer, what you need is help and real hope, not theology or philosophy. Everyone suffers. People all over the globe suffer, some in unspeakable ways. Families torn apart, people living in unacceptable conditions, some are tortured. People everywhere suffer individually with aging, disease, crime, shattered stability, and discouragement. Families, organizations, governments, and nations suffer divisions and deceptions. In fact, all creation suffers as it is subjected to disorder, to disrepair, decay, and death. It was never meant to be this way. This is not God's plan or design. His plan and design is to help, to provide refuge, to give provision, comfort, and peace. Do you see creation groaning under the stress and strain? Here are some examples. Storms lash and destroy. Floodwaters drown and damage. Fires snuff out life and lick up resources. Earth loses its foothold, crushing and devastating. Living things die. Other life plunders and kills. Animals search for food even as humans eke out a living. And then there is disease and death. Yes, we all groan. Surely this was not the original glorious plan. Well, where is Jesus in all these sufferings? Jesus himself suffered side by side with people in this difficult life. With no sin in his heart, he took up infirmities, burdens, sufferings, and sins to carry them to the cross, pulling it all away from you, the man of sorrows. Jesus also brings hope. Since he knows how things end, he is also man of joy. Through Christ, everything is fulfilled, completed. A perfect life is now available again through him. Joy, hope, heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." We don't often talk about heaven, but we should. Heaven helps people keep perspective. Plus, it's something to look forward to, especially in suffering and difficulties. Heaven nurtures hope. Philippians 3:20 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." I only have two application thoughts and questions for you this time over the content. First of all, Jesus will help you get through your current situation. Do you trust him? And then the next point, your application is to believe him no matter what. Are you doing that? I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app, or you can use the online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org. your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.